tonight. And Father, we ask you for your presence and your anointing to deliver the message that you've given us. Father, right now we ask you to give us a revelation of Jesus Christ as he is, not as he was, but Father, as he is today, and his righteous rule as it is being done today in our lives. Father, we don't want to see a Jesus on a cross. We can't see Jesus as a carpenter's son. We can't see Jesus in any other way other than what he is today to us. And Father, right now we ask you for a manifestation of that revelation of Jesus Christ as he exists today and how we are to relate to him and what he wants us to do and what he wants to do through us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Open your Bibles to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. John 1, verse 29. John 1, 29. Says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now quickly jump over to Revelation chapter 7. Remember, he takes away the sin of the world, the Lamb of God. Revelation chapter 7. I'm going to begin to read at verse 14. Revelation 7:14 says, And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now he's referring to a multitude of people who've come out of great tribulation, and they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now you know, if you wash any robe in blood, it should come out red, white, right? But no, wash it in the blood of the Lamb, and it comes out white. Verse 15, Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Jump over to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation 12, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Okay, look over at Revelation 13. Next chapter, chapter 13, verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Okay, Revelations 15. Revelations 15, verse 3. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Now, before that, his judgment was not manifest, but in Revelation, God's judgments are being seen openly now. They're manifest judgments. People are dying. People are being slain. Things are happening because he's judging openly. But how do you avoid that? You're written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But you're also singing a song. And what's the song? The song of the Lamb. Revelation 21. Just jumping through Revelations real fast. Revelation 21:9. He says, And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now you know you can't find a lamb that's going to marry a goat, right? A lamb won't marry a dog. A lamb's going to marry what? Another lamb. Okay. Revelation 22:1. Last scripture in Revelation. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. The throne of God and of the Lamb, meaning that the Lamb is on the throne, right? We're going to be speaking tonight on the topic, Behold the Glorified Lamb. Behold the Glorified Lamb. Now, we're going to use the Gospel of John to illustrate what I'm talking about. But as I always do, I'll be reading the scripture, but coming out of the scripture and then revelating it to you so you can understand it. See, there's a lot that the scripture says, but there's a lot that the scripture doesn't say. But if you have ears to hear, you'll hear the revelation as it comes forth. But if your mind is calibrated to the world or your problems or some other stuff, it'll go right over the top of your head and you'll never see it. Okay, now, let's go to John, Gospel of John, chapter 14, and we'll begin to show you the glorified Lamb and what God is after right now in all of us and how you can get there to it. All right, John 14, we'll begin to read at verse 1. And it came to pass as he went into the house of the before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees. I'm sorry, I'm reading in Luke. Boy, we want John 14. Everybody was wondering, hey, you got the wrong Bible there. Okay, John 14. He says, Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, what's he talking about? He's saying, look, show us the Father. He says, Jesus, he looks at him and says, look, you've been with me all this time, and you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. Now, how can Jesus be standing there and he and the Father be one? And you're looking at Jesus, and he's saying, if you see me, you see the Father. Here's how it works. If I was to look at any person in here and say, look, I have 10 things I want you to do. You go do these 10 things, these 10 things only, and then come back and see me, right? They go and do those 10 things. By sending them to do those 10 things, and they obey me explicitly, if they obey everything I say and do what I said, I would have sent myself to do them because they were doing exactly what I said to do. So when Jesus is in complete obedience to the Father is present because he's doing what the Father is saying to do. To do that, he must be able to do what? Hear the Father. He must be able to hear him speak to him. Now, how was he able to hear the Father speak to him? The Father speaks via a channel, and that channel is the Holy Ghost. He was filled with the Holy Ghost, so every time God the Father spoke, he instantaneously heard everything he said to him. So when they spoke to Jesus, they were speaking to the Father because the Holy Ghost was doing what? Manifesting the Father out of Jesus. Now, the Holy Ghost is the spirit of promise. Abraham received a promise to his seed. Now, if you read the scripture, it does not say the promise is made to Abraham's seeds as of many. It says it was to his seed, one. The promise of the Holy Ghost was made to Jesus, the seed of Abraham. Nobody was baptized in the Holy Ghost like Jesus. He was baptized for what reason? He was the candlelight to show Jesus. See, the Spirit had to come as a candlelight to illuminate the showbread. Now, I'm talking about, if you don't know what the Bible says about this, I know I'm talking in a place that you can't understand. But I'm trying to tell you how spiritual things are working in the Scripture. In the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, you had an altar with showbread on it and a candlestick that sat beside the showbread. The candlestick was used to illuminate the showbread. John the Baptist had to be baptized in the Holy Ghost first because he was the candlestick. He illuminated Jesus. He showed the people Jesus, because when Jesus came, what did he say? What was the first thing we read? He said this, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." He illuminated whom? Jesus. He's the candlestick. Jesus is the showbread. Now remember that showbread now. Because that showbread is going to be very important to you as we develop this thing. Jesus is what? Bread. He's bread. Now remember that now. Get that down in you. He's bread. Now, let's continue to read. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now that's where we get way off. I love the Lord, fornicating. I love the Lord committing adultery. I love the Lord acting a fool. I love the Lord. If you love me, keep my commandments. Don't get way out in spiritual hoodoo land, way out in the mystic somewhere, and saying you love the Lord. Don't jump all around and run around the church and prophesy and talk in tongues if you don't keep the commandments, because if you don't keep the commandments, you don't what? You don't love him. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, and that he may abide with you forever. Now, you know why a lot of people don't get baptized in the Holy Ghost? It's because they have not made up their minds to obey the commandments. The Bible says in the book of Acts, the Spirit was given to them that obey him. And it said immediately the Pharisees and Sadducees got fire hot mad. Now, why did they get mad? Because they didn't obey him. And they couldn't receive the Holy Ghost. The whole conflict down here in the world is one conflict. It's a conflict between those who have the Holy Ghost and those who don't. And I'm talking post-salvation. If you can get baptized in the Holy Ghost after you're saved, and you'll see a schism go down between you and those who don't have the Holy Ghost. Now, you can be seeking after the Holy Ghost and be all right, and you can be praying God that God give you the Holy Ghost and be all right. But when you say, no, that's not for today, you're going to see a drawbridge drop down between you and that person, because they won't receive what? The revelation spirit that reveals Christ. You can have a head knowledge of him without the Holy Ghost, but not a heart change and a heart relationship where you have a deep abiding love down in you for him. And you obey his commandments, not because you have to, but because what? You want to. People ask me all the time, if I get saved, do I have to stop fornicating? I said, no. Do I have to stop committing adultery? No. Lying? No. Stealing? No. Drinking? No. Smoking dope? No. Smoking cocaine? No. Say, hey, that's a pretty good deal. I can just get saved and do what I want to do. I said, that's exactly right. See, because people are looking for what? A list of criteria I have to meet to get saved, and now I'm saving myself through these laws that I can follow and I can control it. I said, no, just don't do anything. Just come to the Lord and get saved. Now, when you really get saved, what happens is this. Jesus will birth in you and begin to grow up out of you, and your nature will change. You won't stop doing those things because you have to. Does what? Caps you off in a little beanie or some kind of a veil or something, has you sitting there with external things to show how holy you are. And inside you can be as black as soot. See, that's the trick of the devil. Makes you religious and blocks the relationship. Now, here we go. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Secondarily, that's the other part of this thing. You know who will always miss the gospel every time? People who don't want to know the truth. They want to know opinion. What do you think about the Bible? What do you feel the Bible says? I read it, but you know, I see it another way. They'll debate it all day. Because they don't really want to know the truth, they cannot see or receive the revelation of Jesus. See, hypocrites will never understand this thing. See, my definition of a hypocrite is this. A person who has situational ethics. In other words, you change what you are based on the environment you're in. At work you're one way, in church you're another way, at school you're another way, around black folks you're one way, around white folks you're another way, around, see what I mean? You just change according to environment. You'll never, never see it, never understand anything about this Bible. You have to be a constant person to understand this Bible, the same everywhere. Paul said, none of these things do what? Move me. People debating about the Bible, well, you can debate it all day. It's still true. I mean, no matter, people say, well, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. No, see, God said it, whether you believe it or not, it's settled. Thy word is settled forever in heaven and in the earth. It doesn't make any difference if you believe it or not. It's settled anyway. So you gotta get in God's framework. You can't bring him into yours. But people who don't want to know the truth are always trying to make adjustments to the scriptures so they can ease in. Well, God knows we're just human. You know, God knows we have feelings. God knows, See, God knows you're a bunch of flesh and you're trying to do what you want to do. That's what he knows. And until you get for real and stop being a hypocrite and stop lying to yourself, you'll never see daylight. He's the spirit of truth. He only can minister to those who want to know what? Truth. If you don't want to know the truth, you're wasting your time dealing with the Holy Ghost. Because you know what he'll do? He'll walk right past you like you're not even standing there. Because he knows that's a liar right there. Bypass him. For somebody who's hungering and thirsting for the truth, he'll spend all day with them, day and night with them, giving them dreams, letting them see things, letting them know things, sending people to them. Why? Because they really want to know. But folks who don't want to know, don't worry about it. They won't know. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. This is Jesus speaking now. Yet a little while and the world sees me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also. All that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and in you. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Now, here's where we start walking out into deep water. I'm in my Father in me, I'm in you. That means my Father and I, we're both in you. Son down in him, these three are what? One. Now then he said he'll do what? I'll manifest myself to you. How many have really experienced the open manifestation of Jesus Christ? I'm not talking about getting saved. I'm not talking about reading your Bible. I'm talking about a real manifestation of presence where he sits and talks to you and you understand it and you can do what he says. You said, Brother Gary, can that really happen? Paul on the road to Damascus. See, the Bible is explicit. The apostles kept saying, the Holy Ghost forbade us. The Holy Ghost, I wanted to go east. The Holy Ghost directed me to go west. These boys were really hearing. Not like us. The Lord told me. And it don't make as much sense as a... See, this thing has to come down to real life hearing now. Because we're in a wicked and perverse generation. This thing is going to get worse and worse. And you have to know that you know that you know that you know that you know that you're hearing. And there's only one way to know it. We'll show you that in a minute. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Okay, what's he saying? The way that you get the manifest presence of Jesus in you is to hear his words and obey them. Before you do anything spiritual, before you do any exercise, any gift, to do anything in a ministry, you must sit at the feet of Jesus and hear him. He loads you for ministry. It's like a carbine, a gun or something being loaded with shells. He loads you for an appointed task. And all you can minister then is what you've been loaded with. If you're going to be an evangelist, he's going to load you with the power and the anointing to be an evangelist. You try to be something else, it won't work. He loads you for ministry, and you must sit and hear for your specific task. Everybody won't hear the same thing. Everybody won't get the same instructions. He's going to perfect you according to the calling on your life. Now, he says, if you love me, you'll hear my words. But before we get off into the realm of spiritual hearing, where God can direct you to do specific things, what's the first step? You got to obey the letter. That's where the church misses it by 1,000 miles. Folks trying to do all these spiritual things and won't obey the letter. If it says, I said, all the jump up trying to lead people into Canaan land when you're not married, talking about you're a pastor because you're not obeying the letter. See, you can forget it. Forget the Spirit leading you, because you must first obey the letter. The Holy Ghost comes on the word. I'm going to say that again. There's only one person ever baptized in the Holy Ghost, Jesus, coming up out of the Jordan River, and nobody else has ever been baptized in the Holy Ghost, ever. If you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, he didn't baptize you. He baptized the word in you. Only one received the Holy Ghost. Only one seed could receive the promise of the Spirit. He does not deal with flesh. If you receive Christ, every interaction with you is made with Christ, not you. How will you get more anointing and more power and walk in more authority? The more Christ in you, the more the Spirit manifests himself. See, we've been trying to use the Bible to do things. That's what this word of faith and all this confession and all this other stuff teaches you. Just stand on the word for this. You'll be standing there forever without a manifestation of Christ inside of you, growing up in you, getting strong in you. Christ grows out of you like a tree. A tree growing out of your spirit into your soul and then manifesting in your person through your personality, through heavy anointing, through power demonstrations. See, this thing is real. It's tangible. God is not glorified if you walk around with nobody being able to see Christ in you. You should walk in a room and have an effect on the environment, because you're walking in glorification. When Moses was in direct contact with God, he came back with a veil over his face because the people couldn't even stand to look at him. But yet here we are in the New Testament with all this Holy Ghost, all this power, all these promises, all these gifts, and everybody looks at us and says, what a joke. Why? Because the Holy Ghost must be poured out of your spirit into your soul, and then he'll illuminate your flesh, and you'll walk in the spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh, and people will know that they're in contact with God because you're in another realm that they're not in. Now, see, we're talking about going out into the deep now. I'm not talking about churchy stuff.
being a member of a church.
You know, that's over with now. If you have allegiance to a particular church, you're going to find yourself messed up and blocked off. You have to have allegiance to Christ and then worship and fellowship in the local church as the Spirit leads, and He won't lead you all the time to worship and fellowship with everybody in the local church, because some people are crazy in the local church. So you got to know by the Spirit who's for you, who's against you, who's jealous of you, who's trying to hold you up, who's saying stuff behind your back, See, He'll show you all of that, because He's making you walk around the traps and snares of the devil. See, you got to know his devices and know where they are. The local church a lot of times is a battleground, because you get everybody, everything in the church. Different beliefs come in the church. People with weird doctrines come in. And you got to know when you're dealing with them and how to deal with it. Sometimes God will have you to deal with them and love on them. Sometimes God will tell you to leave them alone for a season. It's different manifestations of how the Spirit will lead you, and you must be able to do what? Hear what to do at any given time. All right. Now, jump down to John 15:7. Remember, we're dealing with the glorified Lamb. Now, we're going to get to something here that's going to hopefully compel you to move up or rung on the ladder into the Spirit. John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, Father, glorify that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father have loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. We hear that scripture quoted all the time. Ask what you will, and he'll give it to me. I'm claiming it in the name of the Lord. Wait a minute. Hold it. Back up, buddy. Back up. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you ask what you will, and it will be given by my Father. The word abide, live. If you live in me, and my words live in you. Now listen, there is no way for the word of God to live in you unless the Spirit does what? Makes it alive. The letter by itself killeth, but the Spirit gives life. This is why a lot of people don't get the answers. They have the letter in them and think that's the word abiding in them, but it's not. It's just a dead bunch of black marks on white paper. If you have the red letter edition, it's red marks on white paper down in your mind, and it has no power. How does the word come alive in you? You begin to obey it. As the Holy Ghost sees you obeying it, he begins to draw closer to you because of your discipline of obedience. He'll baptize you first, and then he'll begin to fill you. As you stay in obedience, he'll give you. See, I found out something about God. Every step you take in the Spirit, you can write this down. Every step you take in the Spirit will always come with one thing. He'll challenge you to obey him against tremendous consequences coming against you. Your whole family will be right there. He'll say, leave all of them alone. And you'll say, God, you know. He'll say, hey, look, you're in a 2,000-member church. You've been there for 35 years. He'll say, leave. You'll say, what? What's happening? As you obey him, you go up a rung on the ladder. See, I'm telling you, an obedience is going to come against your what? Your fleshly nature. It's going to, because what's he going to, what, you know what he's separating you from? You know what the sanctification is from? The desire and the need to belong. That's what's got the whole church world almost bow. When you stop needing to belong, you'll find just how different you are from everybody else. In the world, look how you always had to run in the gang, have cliques, go do the same things. Look what the world does. They wear the same thing. They fix their hair the same. They wear the same clothes. They say the same things. The latest hip saying. So-and-so's got it going on. What does that mean? But what happens? Everybody's saying that, so I say it too, because I want to what? I want to belong. So what does he do? He tells you to obey. And everything in you, if you're in the flesh, says, I can't do that. If I do that, Lord, you don't see the consequences of it. Man, I'm telling you, it's going to break. All kinds of stuff's going to break out. Look here, it's got to be another way. Please help me. You can't mean this. Show me another avenue. He'll say, no, do this right here. And you say, I can't do it. He said, okay, go on back around Sinai again. So you stay out there in that wilderness, trudging through, looking for God, if I can just, Lord, bless me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me. Please, and no water. It's a dry and thirsty land out here. Please help me. He said, you want help? Yes, Lord, help me. He said, okay, come on back over here. Do this that I told you to do right here. Lord, I can't do that, Lord. You back out in the wilderness again. Until finally you yield and obey. And you know what happens when you obey? 90% of the time, 99.9% of the time, that's what the blessing is on the other side of the obedience. But it's always going to be contrary now. You know why? The devil's going to stand up against the commandment. He's going to know you're under commandment to do something. He's going to make the forces look insurmountable. See, this is the way it works now. Everybody wants to talk about faith. Faith is not something you just jump around and work like magic. As you obey little things, he'll progressively move you up until and as you obey, your nature is being changed by obedience. And by the time you get to the place where gifts and things are operating, you're so out of it as far as your old nature is concerned, that the gifts and the power of God is commonplace to you. It's normal to you. That's what you want. See, what happens is most times you see a gift operate, the church just goes berserk. Why? Not used to seeing it, because it's God's presence is something that's abnormal to the church. But we want to be in a place where God can come in here, do what he wants to do. We can fellowship with them, not treat him common, but have a relationship whereby we know him so well that he's just a part of the family. We're a part of his family, and he's our father moving and flowing through us, and we're his children, and we're free. That's what you want. You don't have to do all the, I don't need to put on a black cape and have a wand up here and a turban and, you know, come through the aisles just, you know, just, yeah, yeah. Some people like that kind of stuff. With a lot of religious jerks, you know. I see fire over your head. You know, people like that kind of stuff. But see, you want the thing to be a flow of the Spirit where God's presence and his Spirit can flow in your midst and out of you and through you and deal with you. And then, you know, you just walk with God daily. That's what you want. The gifts manifest by nature. They come, they flow in through you, flow out of you, and flow back again. See, that's the way you want this thing. It's not pressurized where you're trying to make things happen. It's a flow of the Spirit. Okay. Now, look at John 15:18. He says, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. Remember that now. When somebody says Jesus is not God, or Jesus is this, or Jesus, he just hates God. You can't hate Jesus without hating his Father. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and you also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Now remember now, they both saw and heard Jesus and his Father. Listen, preaching and the gifts go hand in hand. The gifts follow the word. If you are speaking the manifest mind of God at a given time, the gifts will follow to confirm what you said. The gifts are a manifest token of the power of God, and they come for one reason: to glorify Jesus, the Lamb of God. Now let me show you how it works. Jesus was crucified. When he was crucified, the Bible says in Isaiah 53, he poured out his what? Poured out his soul unto death. I've taught it before, in his soul, the Holy Ghost flowed. The Holy Ghost is housed in your spirit, but he flows into your soul. And your soul is housed in your bloodline, in your blood. Now, when his soul was poured out, he was pouring out the spirit in his soul so that we could be made members of the family of God by receiving as an inheritance that blood. That's why the blood washes white as snow. But it's not the blood doing the washing, it's the Holy Ghost in the blood doing the washing. Now, he flows out, that blood flows out. We come in and receive Jesus' sacrificial death. We are now grafted into God's family because we receive that bloodline as our bloodline. And when we receive Jesus, we receive not just him, but the spirit that empowered him. When we receive that power, then we'll manifest sons. See, the Bible says that creation groans right now, awaiting the manifestation of the sons of God. The reason why you see all the conflict and the weather patterns and the hurricanes and the tornadoes and all this stuff happening, creation is now in travail. What's the travailing for? Because God's sons are about to be made manifest. Jesus said they not only saw, but they heard. They not only heard, but they saw the Father in him. He could speak, but the miracles had to be performed too. Without the miracles, we are not manifest sons. Creation is groaning now, because the miracles are about to come back again. And then we'll be manifest sons. What's my job right now? Why am I preaching this? Why do I preach what I preach? One reason. Before Jesus' presence manifests, Elijah must always come first. To do what? Turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. Why do I teach male headship? The hearts of the children must be turned not to the mothers, but back to the fathers. You will always have a perverted view of Jesus and the Father as long as you're dominated by a matriarchal society.
because they manifest as men. Jesus didn't come as a woman, he came as a man. God is God the Father. They're trying to change that even now. Make him bisexual or something. He, she. You know, don't refer to him as the Father. Just refer to him as God, you know. But see, God is a Father of spirits. He says, be subject to the Father of spirits and do what? Live. As long as you have a matriarchal society, you're going to see this hell out in the streets that we have now. Boys, homosexuals, girls, lesbians, hell everywhere. A bunch of rebellious children who won't obey. Why? They have no father. If you have no father, you have no head. You're a headless person walking around with no guidance and no direction. That's what we have out here right now. I don't care if you're 45 years old with a PhD, LLD, and whatever else degree you want. You're a headless child with no father until you're grafted back in through Jesus, where God becomes your father again. You're just an accident on your way to happen without that. We must turn back to a patriarchal society. Every man that God called in the Old Testament was a patriarch. Abraham ruled his house well. He was a patriarch. Every one of them were men of discipline in their households. Caleb, Joshua, all of them understood the power and the authority of being a patriarch. But now we've got a bunch of limp-wristed, old sissified pink tea squirts walking around who won't stand for anything, walking around trying to get by, get over, rap to some girl on the streets, afraid to discipline themselves and stand for anything. And so what happens, everybody says, man, we can't use these dreads. And the women go off on independence, go out there and be independent because I can't put weight down on this drag. So I've got to stand my own ground and stand for myself. And that's what we have out there right now, in and out of the church. This is the biggest battle we'll see fought in the end times. Returning back to the discipline of the patriarch. What gives a patriarch authority? The ability to lay his life down for everybody else. No greater love does a man have than this, that he lay his life down for a friend. Authority doesn't come from being exalted and oppressing and suppressing everybody else. Authority comes from lowering yourself down and serving everybody else. If you decrease, God will exalt you in due season. That's where authority comes from in the Spirit of God. When you serve the masses, the more you serve, the more you lay your life down, the more you're exalted in the Spirit. That's what a patriarch has to do. He has to be a servant of all. If you're great in the kingdom of heaven, you must be what? A servant of all. That's how it works. This goes contrary to the spirit out here right now. That's the spirit that's influencing you real heavy. That's the spirit that's going to come against you with all of its might. You don't believe that? Like I said the other night, let a woman tell a girlfriend, I can't go out tonight because I got to check with my husband first. They'll go all over them. They'll jump. Man, what are you talking about? Check with him. You're your own woman. What do you mean? You got your own mind. You don't need him to check. You better come on, girl. You just getting, you see, that's that spirit right there. Trying to pull you out from under what? Your protection and your covering. That's why a lot of times married women and single women don't jive. Unless they're both really saved to the bone. You know what I'm saying? You gotta both really be saved. Out in that world, I know it doesn't work out there. In the church, though, you gotta really be saved. Because a lot of times they'll try to reel you out there into the realm of independence where they are, and they're miserable there, and they won't, and you know, misery loves what?
But that's why you have to be careful and walk circumspectly. I'm not talking about schisms in the church where the married people stay away from the single people. That's not what I'm saying. I gotta, you know, some people hear stuff that you don't say. What I'm saying is you have to know each individual by the Spirit to know what spirit you're dealing with and what's in the heart of that person. Okay. Let's look over at John. We're still going down John 16. We're going down John in a line here to get to a point. John 16:1. He says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues." I am going to say that again. They shall put you out of the synagogues. When you do what I'm talking about now, forget this churchy stuff. They'll throw you out on your ears. Because, hey, you start talking about really dealing with Christ and hearing from him, you're going to be just as welcome as an illegitimate child at a party for everybody else. What do you call it? A family reunion. You're gonna be strange, a little, you know, everybody's going with the flow of whatever's going on, right? Now, if it's right, you're all right, because if everybody's in the spirit and flowing together, that's fine. But when the thing is going off course and you jump up and really start hearing from God and he's showing you things, they're going to look at you like you crazy. They'll throw you out of the synagogues. "Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service." I'm going to say that again. The time comes that whoever kills you will think he's doing God a service. I'm telling you, when we see the manifest sons come forth, there'll be a line of demarcation drawn between church folks and saints. And they're going to think they're serving God and really serving the devil. "And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he comes, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you." Okay. Now let's look over at John 17, and then we'll begin to explain what we're talking about. John 17:1. He says, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Now that's eternal life, that you know God. Not that you know some what somebody else says about him, that you as an individual person really know God. Now don't take that lightly. A lot of people will shake their heads. Yeah, that's right, that's right, that's right. Then yet I ask you, do you really know him? Do you really know God? Do you know how he thinks, his emotions, his desires, what he does like, what he doesn't like, his feelings, his wants, his needs? See, God is not way out there somewhere. He's a person. He has desires. He has feelings. You can hurt God's feelings. Sometimes he'll get sad about things. Sometimes he can feel remorse. Sometimes he'll feel tenderness. And you know what'll happen? When you take on his nature, when his feelings shift, yours will shift with him. If he feels sad, you'll get sad. If he's joyful, you'll get joyful. See, that's why if you get in a praise and worship service and the worship goes up to God and it makes him happy, you'll start getting happy. Why? Because the same spirit is in you. That's God's spirit, and the spirit is just circulating and getting happy together, and you feel the same thing. But if you're dead in sin, or if you're in the flesh, you sit there like, I wish they'd hurry up and get this mess over because I'm getting sleepy. You know? See, you'll never see pay dirt that way. But if the same spirit is in you, when God feels something, you'll feel it. When he reacts, you'll react. When he thinks, the thought patterns will come through you. That's what you want. That's knowing God. If you're married to somebody, they don't have to say one word to you. You can tell what they're thinking without them ever opening their mouths. Say, I know Larry didn't like that. I know Larry. And I know when they said that, that just turned him off. Why? Because you know Larry. So when God is offended, you know what you'll feel? Offended. See, I'm trying to move you out of the realm of religion now into the realm of relationship, because to walk in these end times, you've got to be experiencing what I'm talking about. Because when you feel, you walk in an environment and you feel some fear come on you, a lot of time it's not because it's a spirit of fear, it's because something in there is not right. And you can feel something come over you to saying, hey, you back out of here, stop. Or you're getting ready to do something and you feel like, I don't know if I ought to do this. And you start weighing and it feels kind of funny. You got to check that out, because the Holy Ghost may be trying to show you something and show you not to do this, that, and the other. So you got to know what's going on, because the Holy Ghost is going to lead you by all kinds of internal interactions with you. And I'm going to show you why, what that is, where it's coming from. That's the message tonight. Okay. Verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now remember that now. They kept this word. A lot of people heard his word, but everybody didn't keep it. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Remember, he's not praying for the world now. He's praying for those who have been called out of the world, the elect out of the world. Jesus does not pray for the whole world. Who prays for the world? We do. Jesus makes intercession for the saints. We intercede for the people in the world. See, it's different jobs now. Jesus is not praying for the world. He prays for his saints. Now, the same Holy Ghost instructs us to pray for those in the world that he knows that needs to be prayed for. It's a different ministry, same spirit. But when we pray for the world now, as the prayers go up, they go to Jesus, and because our desires are to see people saved, he receives those prayers and then hands them over to the Father as a petition. We're interceding for the people who are lost, but it's still channeled up through Jesus to the Father. But he's sitting there praying for the saints, Well, see, you can see the interaction there, though. If he cares enough for us to pray for us, right, he's laying his life down to pray for us, then if we're his, what will happen to us? We should lay down our life to pray for others. That's the way it works now. And the more you pray, the more you what? You're transformed into his image, because he ever liveth to make intercession. If you ever live to make intercession, you're just like what? You're just like him. If you want to be like him, begin to do what he does. And you'll begin to get more and more like him every day. It's like a kid. A kid will sit and watch his daddy or his mama all the time and start saying what they say, doing what they say, and next thing you know, they're just like him. That's why if you want to know about a man, you know how to tell about a man? Watch two things. Watch his wife and his kids. Because the woman is what? The glory of the man. And the kids are his seed. So everything he does is going to be showing up in his family. I don't have to worry about how a guy acts. I just look at his family. I can tell exactly what's going on. If his wife's got a big mouth, you know, unruly in the service, you know, you can tell that family is not disciplined. Kids, I won't talk about kids because my kids. But what I'm saying is, kids a lot of time, if they are arrogant, disrespectful, no, you know, hadn't been disciplined. They got to come up under discipline. Like my two boys right now, oh, I'm telling you. I see Gabriel and I said, boy, I'm going to wear out two or three belts before this thing is over. But when it's over, they'll be disciplined, I bet you that. All right. Let's look at, where was I at now? Verse 8. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine art mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that's Judas Iscariot, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come out to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Remember that now. The glory that God the Father gave Jesus, he has given us. What's that glory? The Holy Ghost, the illuminating, revelating Spirit. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Okay, now, we said all of that to say this. The whole work is this. Jesus is on a throne right now in the middle of brilliant, shining light. The The Bible says that God dwells in a light that no man can approach unto. That light is Shekinah glory. It's like somebody sitting down in the middle of the sun. If you were to see God's presence right now and where we're sitting at, it will be pure astral light, purified light. He sits in the middle of that with Jesus at his right hand. Now that's where they literally are right now. If you could get there, you would see that. And around that throne, you'd see what? Cherubims, seraphims, angels everywhere, royalty everywhere, flowing like a river. I mean, just magnificent scene of the splendor and the glory that he lives in. That's where they're sitting right now. I'm just trying to paint a picture for you. Now, they're sitting in the middle of that light, ruling the universe. Jesus enthroned, glorified. He said that he would send the Holy Ghost after he was glorified. Why did he send the Holy Ghost after he was glorified? This is what I believe. The Holy Ghost is given to tell everybody on this planet that Jesus made it back to the throne. When he sat down the throne, he released the Spirit to say, I'm here. How is he glorified? How does he prove that he's sitting on that throne right now? You have to do the same works he did. That's the only way to prove it. If the church never manifests the same gifts, the same power, the same authority, cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead, there is no proof that Jesus made it back. Neither is there any proof that he's the Son of God. He said that in the scriptures right here. Let them do the same works I did. He says, look, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. That the world may know. Only one way. Manifestations of the sons of God. How do they manifest? It comes by the Holy Ghost coming on us, just like it came on Jesus at the Jordan River. And that's evidence that Jesus made it back and that he is the only begotten Son of God. You have a lot of voices down here, Hinduism, Muslims, Hare Krishnas, etc., etc. But the power is the dividing line. So you can talk all day about this thing. Talk is over. Look, you might as well save your breath and stop talking. Start seeking after the demonstration of power. Paul said it. I'm not coming in town, fellas, with enticing words of man's wisdom. But when I get in town, boys, there'll be a demonstration of power that your faith will not stand in the words of a man, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power. Faith doesn't stand in words, the words of a man. Faith stands in a demonstration of power. Because when that power is demonstrated, no matter what you say, no matter what you came in believing, no matter what you thought, when that power is demonstrated, that ends it right there. I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe he's the Son of God. I don't believe that. But when you see a demonstration of raw power, when you see boys with amputated legs and the legs grow back out right in front of you, you see people with no eyes and eyes come back into being, withered hands, and they form right before you. Lazarus dead 4 days and he's getting up. Now what are you going to do? But you got people with hardened hearts who will look right at a hardcore miracle and step over it like it never happened and go to hell. You must desire to know the truth for you to even see the power of God. But that's what we're coming to. I'm saying this is a challenging message because it's about to happen, whether it happens to you or me It's going to happen whether it happens to us or not. But we can be in on this thing if we want to be in on it. What am I saying? I'm saying that Jesus is about to make a full-blown manifestation. How does he do it? He only does it. Now listen to this. Jesus only manifests himself from a place of enthronement. He's a king. In every human being, there is a throne. The question to you is, who is sitting on your throne? Every human being is a walking kingdom. You're a kingdom. It's different parts of your personality, different emotions, different feelings. You're a kingdom. And every human being must have someone enthroned as the ruler in the kingdom. If you decrease and step off of your throne and let Jesus step in, he'll manifest out of you from a place of enthronement. But if you stay on that throne, the devil's your God, and he'll manifest himself through a place of enthronement. It's a thing that comes from enthronement. The power comes from him on a throne. See, the throne is the place where the mind, the soul, the will, the spirit all unite. They link right there. And this tabernacle is directed from that throne. When you have made up your mind to obey the word only, Jesus can direct you with no delay in your response. He speaks, you move. He says, stop, you stop. Go, you go. Don't say a word, you shut up. How many of us have gotten there right now? Or do you have to get in your last little word to let them know they can't talk to me like that? He's not enthroned, because you can override his every wish. You're on the throne still. When you see 9 fruit come out of you, it means Jesus is enthroned. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, and faith is a sign that Jesus is on the throne in that human. When those things stay and abide in a human being, no matter what the circumstances, no matter where you are, then Jesus is the king over that house. And it's only a matter of time before he's going to manifest himself. It's time out for all the messages is just getting you worked up in the flesh, you know, working you up and jumping you around, and you got no real power. This thing comes from a discipline. The thing that humans hate so much, a discipline. You don't believe that? You work any job, let a boss come and tell a guy, look, go over there and move that pile of stuff over here to the corner. Man, it's something that just raises up in a human being just by nature. That just doesn't want to do what he said, you know? That's that old man. The word of God says, flee from fornication. Something in a human being just rises up by nature and says, I can do what I want to do. See, that's what it is. See, that old nature. But like I tell people, if you can just swallow that stinking pride and just do what it says, after a while it'll become nature. You must make yourself obey this word, because there's many forces out there that are going to try to get you to be a rebel. And they're going to come to you in diverse and different ways, trying to lead you off to some kind of delusion. But if you know what this Bible says and you stand on it, I'm sorry, the Bible says. Remember, Jesus never stood on his opinion. It is written. It is written. It is said. He never stood on his opinion. He knew what God commanded and what he desired. He stood on that. The Spirit then anoints that stand. Now, if you really want to get power, I'm talking about if you're serious about power, I know I've said the same things for 6-8 months different ways, but it's the same story over and over again. I can't think of another way to tell it.
If you want this kind of raw power,
it's one thing you got to do.
Look at this real fast, and I'll show you. If you really want this now, if you don't want this, close your Bible. Don't start messing around with this because you find yourself in trouble. Now, just don't read this now if you don't want the power. But if you really want the power, turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 6. John 6, verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. If you really want this power, this is what I'm challenging you to do. Now you're gonna, now your mind, what your mind would do when I say this is gonna do this. He can't really mean that. You know, that's the first thing your mind will think now. So when your mind begins to think that, tell your mind this. Yes, he really means that. So that way it'll be, you know, it ought to be in you. If you really want real power, leave the world alone totally and feed on the bread of life only. You said, Brother Gary, no movies, no this, no. See, that's the way I'm meeting me. See, the world is an inordinate desire for the things down here. It's a need to belong to the system. Some people are addicted to the world, and you need to identify your addictions and leave them alone and feed on the bread of life. You know, that's what fasting is all about. In this country, most of the population is addicted to food. So we got to fast to food and feed on the bread of life. Other addictions, sports, Braves, Falcons. You know, you can see people flipping on the TV channel from the Braves to the Falcons to the Hawks. And then, oh man, somebody else on channel 12. Let me check the Miami game on channel 12. Flip back over here. Oh yeah. See, have three TVs with remote controls, you know, changing all three of them, trying to catch everything. Oh, yeah, I got one in my bedroom recording on my VCR of the game, so I look at that tonight. Addicted. Sports. This thing's going to go down the end time, going to go right past their heads because they won't be able to see it. Loaded with the latest statistics for hidden for David Justice when you are loaded for bear with the Word of God. See, where you spend your time and what you spend your time doing is going to determine how much power you have. Because it's coming a time now when the anointing is going to just fall. And everybody that has a heart prepared through feeding on the word, it's going to fall on them. And then you are full of Deion Sanders' last interception and just talking to the fellas about that. The anointing's going to fall, and you're going to look around wondering, what's going on? So people could be in a church service. Why is everybody acting like this? The anointing fell. They were somewhere else. The bread of life only. It's bread that brings about life, spiritual life. See, it's a challenge. It's a challenge. That's why he said, before you do it, count the cost. Do you have sufficient to finish the house? Or will you just stay over by the creek, over by the edge of the bank, you know, afraid to go out in the deep, got your feet wet, you know, sitting on the pier, soaking your feet in the water, and won't go out in the deep. Everybody else is out in the deep. You're on the pier with your feet in the water, saying, yeah, but, you know, God knows we're just human. Uh-uh. We're going to have to power up these gifts, and they're going to have to come raw, heavy. Jesus, now, you see, this is what we do with Jesus. We think, well, see, that was his day, and it was like a
you know, it was almost prehistoric times back then. Walking around, they were still rubbing sticks together to make fire. So, you know, Jesus had to do all that stuff to get attention because those were just ignorant, unlearned people. Those people were geniuses compared to the nuts we have today. But what it is this, the devil has found a way through academic knowledge and education to get us so sophisticated till miracles are just, that's for heathens and pagans, see. You believe that? Science has proved, doctor says, hey, you got to lose all that. And there's only one way to lose it. You've got to take this old Bible and just load up with it like you load a Gatling gun. And then shut up. Don't go out, well, I loaded my Gatling gun, so now I go and shoot everybody I see. Load up and shut up. Now let the Spirit come and make it life in you. Then when you speak, your words will be what? Life, but they'll be savored with salt. There'll be love. It'll be love coming out. You won't be something that's killing somebody and cutting them in half, you know. The Bible says, you know, and you're just cutting people in two with what you're saying. That's not God. But when you load up and shut up, the Bible says, remember, this is the faith and the patience of the saints. He'll change your nature so when he flows out of you with his words, they'll flow out with love. And that's what you're looking for. Because that'll minister what? Grace to the hearers, not condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets you free from the law of sin and death. See, there's no way you can minister condemnation to the people of God. Now, those are those who are in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Now, that's what it says. You're in the Spirit, not the flesh. Now, if you're in the flesh, you're feeling condemned. Because it's the flesh that's condemning you. If you're unsaved, you feel condemned because it's your nature that's condemning you. But when you get saved, don't let anybody condemn you with anything that you did. No, I didn't do it. Hey, I'm free from that. That was then. This, I'm a new creature. Hey, didn't I just know you when you used to? That was somebody else. See, you got to walk out of this stuff. The devil always try to bring junk up to try to condemn you. Shake it off. What are we talking about? A glorified lamb. Jesus is glorified one way. When his Spirit can flow down to a place of enthronement in you and then manifest out of you because you have ceased to do your own thing and your life is no longer your own. See, you got to understand, 70, 80, 90 years in this human body is a joke. It's your opportunity to give this life over to God for his use and have an eternal reward. We take up 80 years and sacrifice up eternity living out our own thing in this carnal flesh, and then we sacrifice up forever. He's just asking for 70 or 80 years. And then you got forever to get the reward. You see how stupid it is. Why not give yourself over for 70 or 80 years? And man, after that, you'll be in like Flint. You're right there in the glory cloud. You're right there with the Lord. You know, right up there next to everybody, just hanging out. Hey, I'm one of the fellas. You're all up on the throne, you know, leaning on God the Father's shoulder and just accepted in the beloved. You see what I'm saying? Well, we're going to sacrifice up all that to just, I got to curse out. You don't know what she said to me. And you sacrifice up everything for just a moment in time. That's stupid. All we have to do is get out of his way and let these gifts and this power come through. He's going to save thousands. This church right here, it's not going to grow because we're in here trying to preach people up to some kind of stupor. It'll grow because of manifest presence. If we'll break these vessels and let them pour out, man, they'll come from the east, west, north, and south, because things will begin to happen here. They came seeking out Jesus for one reason. I hear this man has power to do miracles. and I need help. That's the drawing card. The miracles are a glorification of the Father and the Son. We need the nature of the Lamb in us, only that it can glorify Jesus, because that nature of the Lamb shows that he's present. That's what we're seeking after. That's what we're praying for. That's what we must be fasting for. Have a place, or have a focus for your fasting. You're fasting to get this nature in you. You're humbling your soul with fasting for this nature, for Jesus to be enthroned in you. You want to see this thing really happen. Don't just fast for 3 days and just, you know, blow it off as nothing with no focus to it. Make it focused. I'm fasting, Lord. I'm praying like this because I want to see what Brother Gary said happen to me. I really want to see the real thing. I don't want some Mickey Mouse experience. I don't want some religious experience. I want to see you really come, the Father and the Son, with the Spirit, and tabernacle in me, and see the thing really happen. It's not scary. It's not mystical. It's just Bible 101 I'm preaching. This is the simple thing, of simple things of the gospel, right? This is not even deep. This is the elementary things of the gospel. Jesus being enthroned in the heart of a person. The Lamb is seeking to be glorified. Only one way. You are that way. Will you give yourself over to him, or will you hold on to your life and then lose it? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for your anointing and your presence. Thank you that the Holy Ghost is flowing through us and in us, and that your word is real, and that you're able to change us, Lord. Father, we're not looking to put on a show. We're not looking to impress people. We want to really see people changed into your image. The Bible says we're changed from glory to glory, from faith to faith, into the image of Jesus by the Spirit of the Lord. We want to see this really happen, not make-believe, not a cartoon, not some fantasy type thing, but the real Christ come forth. Right now we say, come forth, Jesus, in our spirits. Flow through us. Use these vessels. Use our minds. Think through our minds. Let us feel what you feel. Let us think what you think. Let us desire what you desire, because as our desires become your desires, then you give us the desires of our hearts, because we desire the same thing you do. We delight ourselves in you, and you give us the desires of our hearts. Father, right now we just thank you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for these that came. Change them through these words, Father, into your image. Let the word fall on good ground. I rebuke the devil from them, and I disallow him from stealing the word from the hearts. Change them through these words, Father, that they might be prepared for your coming and be prepared to be your bride. Father, we just believe it right now. Dedicate them, dedicate this service to you. Ask for a change to be made in all of us, that we can be more like you and more receptive to the speaking of your voice, to obey you when you speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, now, if you're not saved, I'm not talking about belonging to a church or having your name on a church roll. I'm talking about being saved. If you don't know Jesus personally yourself, if you know you need to get to know him, or if you know you strayed away from him and you need to get back, it's a good time to do it, because we're ending up time and space as we know it, because time is shutting down right before our eyes as the end time begins to work its way out through society. And it's happening here in the United States and around the world. It's the end of the world we're living through. So if you don't know the Lord personally, if you'll come forward now, we'll pray for you to receive Jesus as your personal Savior, and for you to move on into the deeper things of God and come into a relationship with him. Remember, he's a person. You can deal with him as a person. He understands people, because he became flesh for that reason, in order to understand our ways. If you need the prayer of salvation to be prayed with you, if you come forward, we'll pray. If you need a prayer from bad experience, fornication, some sexual sin you're in, something you're doing you know you're not supposed to be doing, you can get back. Remember, it's appointed a man wants to die. After that, the judgment. There is no reincarnation. You'll leave here either saved or damned. That's the way it is. No way to fix it up. Everybody saved. You know you're saved. You're sure you're saved. Going once. Going twice. Because I'm telling you, when this ship embarks now, he's gonna get his church out of here at a point in time. It's gonna be hell down here. You need to know that you know you're on board. So you don't want to be down here talking about, oh, I thought. See, one thing can keep you out of the kingdom of God. One thing. He told Martha, Martha, you've desired to do all these things, but one thing was necessary for you to do. And your sister Mary has chosen the better part. One thing can keep you out of this thing. All right. Next, if you have any prayer needs that we need to pray about, sickness, disease, infirmity, family problems, jobs, whatever, you just know something spiritual is going on around you that you need to get right, we'll pray for you for that. Trusty oil here. Okay. Father, right now we pray for my brother here concerning a job, Father, that you give him direction about a change in his job situation. Father, we know that you know all things and you know exactly what he needs. Even if he can't see it, you can see it. Because you dwell in that unseen realm and you're able to know things that he could never know. Father, whatever way you deem necessary, reveal to him what he must do in a way that he can tangibly understand you speaking to him. Because I know that you can speak to a human being that they understand you in any way you choose to. Through dreams, through a vision, through the word of God, through personal visitation, whatever you deem necessary to get it over to him, Lord. Through just an inward witness to let him know. Show him what he must do, Father, and keep him in a place to hear from you. Keep him in a place where he can receive you and your voice when you speak. And show him what to do about this job situation, Father. He's standing in faith and believing that you are going to show him. We ask you humbly in Jesus' name to do that. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now I pray for Jackie. Father, right now we just pray over her life totally. Father, whatever there is that the devil's trying to bring against her or whatever there is that is in need, Father, right now we just ask you to reveal to her the need, the place that she needs to work on, or the place that she needs to put emphasis. Father, right now, Father, I come against the spirit of witchcraft. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of witchcraft over Jackie. Father, I rebuke the power of witchcraft. No mind control, no idle word spoken to her will dominate her. Father, right now, any weapon formed against her shall not prosper, and every tongue that rises against her, and bless her and keep her mind, Father, in perfect peace, because she stayed on you and not on the words of folks. Whatever people say to her, Father, let them come off of her with no impact on her spirit. Keep her mind clear. Let the word be the apple of her eye.
Don't let anything spoken to her or against her take effect. Right now, I rebuke the power of witchcraft and Jezebel, manipulation, control, domination, intimidation. I bind you. And now, Lord, I ask you to send your word to deal with these spirits of witchcraft. Rebuke them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, right now we pray for Valerie, her finances and her job. Father, that you will move in that area, that you'll give her the thing that's perfect for her. You know her, Lord. You know her the need. You know what she desires. You know the desires you placed in her. Father, right now we ask you to lead by your spirit to the place that's right. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to clarify the things that you would have her to do. Father, right now we just ask you now to move in her situation, and Lord, just take all the cloudiness and uncertainty out of her mind that she can understand you better. Father, give her a revelation of the word, a revelation of Jesus. Make yourself personal to her, Lord. Come and visit her and talk to her and fellowship with her. Pacify all of her inner being. Father, let her know you through your son, because he said if we've seen him, we've seen you, Father. You and he are one. As we join in covenant with him, we are joining ourselves to you also as members of the household of faith. I come against all rejection. I break the power of rejection. I come against any family members that are trying to torment her and trying to hold her or thwart her in any way. Father, I'm asking you to show her that she's accepted in the beloved, and that no weapon formed against her shall prosper, and that she is able to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of her testimony. And she confesses her faith to you and prays to you and intercedes for others. Father, use those words that she speaks as seed to come back and bless her again and multiply seed sown back to her. Father, look over her finances. Look over her job situation. Clarity of mind, no fogginess, nothing that tries to debilitate her or make her sleeper or make her lackadaisical. We break the power of all those things. Give her a pressing through, Father, a power to go on, a discipline. Give her energy, Father, that she might be successful in everything she endeavors to do. You say meditate in your word day and night. Meditate in your word, and then we shall have good success. Father, let the meditations of your word be her only delight, and let that just empower her to make it through. Show yourself to her, Lord, and show your will to her. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Father, right now we come against pain in Sister Crystal's chest. Father, we break the power of that pain. Father, eliminate this, whatever it is. We don't know the source of it, Father, but you do. The Bible says that you are a healer, that you are able to heal, that you...